It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to this special edition of the Noon Report. I'm Bill Price. Coronavirus clampdown.
A pandemic, a global pandemic. This is something out of a movie.
This is our top story all day long today, from the NBA to the NCAA, from Wall Street to Main Street. Coronavirus taking its toll.
Things will get worse than they are right now.
Dr. Anthony Fauci at the National Institutes of Health last night in front of a national audience. President Trump put an exclamation point on the pandemic.
To keep new cases from entering our shores, we will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days.
A number of European countries, though, exempt from the ban, including the UK. Vice President Mike Pence heading up the coronavirus task force. He says the travel ban will help mitigate the impact of COVID-19. In the U.S.,
the epicenter of the coronavirus has shifted from China and South Korea to Europe, and that's why he took the unprecedented step to suspend all travel for 30 days from Europe. It's about preventing the additional flow of the infection from Europe into our country.
The markets, meantime, continue their free fall because of the virus. The Dow down over 2,000 points right now. The plunge froze the markets for a second time this week. Personal finance coach Dave Ramsey says folks shouldn't panic, though.
You do not play the stock market on the short term. It will give you a heart attack. This is investing, and you don't get off a roller coaster in the middle of the ride.
The coronavirus count continues to rise. At least 36 deaths in the U.S., over 1,300 cases. Hollywood power couple Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, the latest to test positive for COVID-19. Here's reporter Matt Piper.
The Oscar winner and his wife, who are both 63, are in isolation in a hospital on the Gold Coast in Eastern Australia. His post says, "We felt a bit tired, like we had colds and some body aches. To play things right, as is needed in the world right now, we were tested for the coronavirus and were found to be positive." He added a photo of a surgical glove placed inside a biohazard trash bag. Hanks is also living with type 2 diabetes, which is considered an extra risk factor for those infected with the coronavirus.
That's Matt Piper reporting. The NBA suspending its season after a player from the Utah Jazz tested positive for the virus. And late this morning, the league announcing a second player has also tested positive for COVID-19. Mark Cuban owns the Dallas Mavericks. He says some things in life are bigger than basketball.
This is people's lives at stake. This isn't about basketball. This isn't about the Mavericks. This isn't about when do we start or do we start or how do we start. This is a pandemic, a global pandemic.
The NCAA, meantime, says this year's March Madness basketball tournament will continue, but without any fans. In fact, large gatherings from coast to coast now being banned.
Public, leisure, faith-based, or sporting events, parades, concerts, festivals, conventions, fundraisers, and similar activities of that dimension are prohibited as we go forward.
Washington Governor Jay Inslee in Italy, that country has essentially shut down. Correspondent Elizabeth Palmer.
Italy, where streets and shops are eerily quiet, has the highest number of cases in Europe, more than 12,000, with 827 deaths, the vast majority elderly people. The government has closed shops, bars, and restaurants and imposed travel restrictions. But there are signs of hope. This morning, China reported a record low, just 15 new cases. These nurses are celebrating the closing of one of Wuhan's makeshift hospitals after the last coronavirus patient was discharged.
That's Elizabeth Palmer reporting from London today. Also today, Congress shutting down the U.S. Capitol to the public until April 1st. That move comes as lawmakers in Washington are poised to pass an emergency funding bill today in response to the coronavirus outbreak. Still to come this Thursday, first case of coronavirus in Western New York. Nursing homes restricting guests because of the virus, and high school basketball bounces on despite the outbreak.
Good afternoon. We're tracking a cold front that will be delivering wind and rain later tonight into tomorrow. It'll be followed by a crisp, cool weekend. forecast to Townsend coming up in 10 minutes.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Thursday, March 12th. A Rochester man has become the first case of coronavirus in Western New York. Local public health officials say the man is recovering at home and had recently traveled to a high-risk area. Monroe County Health Director, Dr. Michael Mendoza.
We are confident that the individual contracted the infection in Italy, and therefore it is not an example of local transmission. I can also confirm that this individual has no relationship whatsoever to the students under quarantine at SUNY Brockport.
Dr. Mendoza says over 30 students under quarantine at SUNY Brockport. He also says even with a confirmed case of coronavirus in Rochester, the risk of infection remains low.
At this time, we have no reason to believe that anybody should avoid any area in Rochester. The extent of isolation means that we have this person in a home, and that person poses no risk to anybody outside that home.
Even so, city officials in Rochester today canceling Saturday's St. Patrick's Day parade in the Flower City because of the coronavirus. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says all state schools will be closed to students starting next Thursday because of the virus.
CUNY and SUNY, starting March 19th, will move to a distance learning model.
The move impacts 500,000 students in the Empire State. There are now over 200 confirmed cases of coronavirus in New York and Pennsylvania. The number has jumped to 16.
Wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. If soap and water is not available, use hand sanitizer.
Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine.
Cover any coughs or sneezes with your elbows and not with your hands. Try not to touch your face regularly. Clean surfaces on a frequent basis. And if you are sick, please stay home until you are feeling better.
Dr. Levine says the number of cases will continue to rise in the Commonwealth as the state conducts more tests for the virus. Roswell Park in Buffalo, meantime, one of 28 sites in New York picked to test for COVID-19. Officials there say if you have a loved one being treated at Roswell, the coronavirus testing won't put them at risk. Roswell CEO Dr. Candace Johnson.
No patients are going to walk in here and get tested. We will receive samples that are swabs, sterilely collected and put in a tube.
We're not trying to scare people. We're not saying lock yourselves in your homes. We're saying we're going to be smart about this. We're saying take precautions.
That's Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. She says testing is key to controlling the spread of the virus. Officials say the COVID-19 tests will start this week at Roswell. Local nursing homes across New York and Pennsylvania say they're restricting visitors because of the outbreak.
This is one of the most intense infectious control or infectious disease outbreak responses I've ever seen.
Dr. David Heizig is with Loretto Health and Rehab in Central New York.
Obviously, we would make an exception if somebody was dying and family members had to be near there. But in general, our goal is to keep the infection out of the nursing home.
Heizig says his facility now providing families with tablets so they can Skype with their loved ones inside a nursing home without physically being there. Today, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf banned international travel and large gatherings for government employees under his jurisdiction. The move in response to the coronavirus outbreak, the governor says the ban will take effect right away. While the NBA season on hold because of the coronavirus, local high school boys and girls basketball games continue. For now, anyway.
We're really taking this not day by day, but hour by hour.
Robert Zayas with the New York State Public High School Athletic Association says they've moved two playoff high school games to Vestal because of coronavirus concerns in Orange and Ulster counties.
It's a rapidly evolving situation, rapidly developing situation. What happened yesterday doesn't necessarily ring true today.
With Vestal now home to high school playoff games, officials there making sure that venue is safe for players, coaches, and fans.
Utmost importance for Vestal is the safety and security and welfare of our students, our staff, community, and any guests that would be visiting our schools.
Clifford Casson is the assistant superintendent at the Vestal Central School District. He says extra staff have been brought in to make sure that school has been properly cleaned.
Any surface where people would be touching or they would be occupying, so all the surfaces will be cleaned. They're also going to disinfect and clean the gymnasium, the handrails, the railings for the doors.
Late this morning, we got word that all fans at Buff State for the state regionals in high school boys basketball now banned from attending. Again, that's at Buff State this weekend. Officials say as of today, though, high school boys and high school girls basketball playoff games in New York and Pennsylvania will go on as scheduled. Well, we mentioned it earlier. The basketballs have stopped bouncing in the NBA. Sunny time. Your two-minute drill.
Yeah, the big story, Bill. The NBA suspending the season until further notice due to the coronavirus outbreak. Reports have that Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell have both tested positive. Yet last night, the games went on. Philadelphia 76er head coach Brett Brown on why.
Adam Silva is an amazing leader, and we're part of this NBA brotherhood, and the instruction was to come in and play the game.
Sixers won that game 124-106. The New York Knicks were in Atlanta beating the Hawks 136-131 in overtime. Knicks head coach Mike Miller on playing the game.
Well, at this point, again, we're just going to trust, you know, what our medical team is telling us and then be very conscious and aware if anybody would happen to have symptoms, and then we know what we do from there.
And could have been the last game in 22 years for Vince Carter with the Hawks. He says he's okay with that.
In my mind, I know there's 15 games left. It's cool, though. Basketball has been good to me. You know, I've enjoyed each and every moment of it, good and bad. So if this is it, it's all good. At least I made my last basket.
Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban.
I'm concerned about, you know, will my kids have school or not? I'm concerned, are we all doing the right thing? Because this is obviously new territory. This is certainly a black swan event in my experiences. And
Mark Cuban says he's looking to pay his employees, those arena workers, while the games are suspended. The NHL continuing its season for now. Further update expected today. 10 games on the slate tonight, including the Columbus Blue Jackets hosting the Pittsburgh Penguins without any fans. And the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments will be held without fans. Also, Power 5 conferences restricting their tournament attendance to only essential and credentialed personnel. The College Basketball Invitational, which selects the 16 teams not picked for March Madness, have canceled. Yesterday, Pitt falls to North Carolina State. Syracuse advances, beating North Carolina 81-53. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolfiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this special edition of the Noon Report, coronavirus funding bill, another down day on Wall Street, and calming fears over COVID-19.
No other religion claims that Jesus Christ is God or that he rose from the dead, but there's another thing that makes Christianity unique. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. What sets Christianity apart from all other world religions? Certainly the divinity and resurrection of Jesus, but what else? Christianity grounds a respect for all human life, but so do other religions such as Jainism and Wicca. Christianity has a robust moral framework that holds all of us to a high standard of behavior, but so does Orthodox Judaism and Islam, especially when it comes to human sexuality. But what about forgiveness? Jesus' radical command to not only forgive, but forgive 70 times 7 has no other equivalent in any other faith. Add that to the command to love, bless, and pray for our enemies and all those who persecute us, and now we've got something that only Christianity offers the world, something that the world would desperately miss if it ever lost it. After all, when Christians forgive, as we're instructed to do, the world can't help but take notice. In a recent interview with the BBC, Azia Bibi, the Pakistani Christian who spent 8 years waiting execution from a trumped-up charge of blasphemy, recalled all of her mistreatment, including having her neck put in a brace tightened by a key and pulled on a chain by guards. She described how much of a sham her trial was and how she was not allowed to even say anything in her own defense. She talked about the pressure she faced to renounce her faith. And then she she said. I'm not angry at all. I've forgiven everyone from my heart. There's no hardness in me. Also last week, four Nigerian elders gathered together to worship in the charred remains of their church just 2 days after terrorists from Boko Haram burnt it and two other churches to the ground, destroying parts of their village and kidnapping a few of the women there. During the service, the elders pray for God's forgiveness, mercy, and cleansing of the land. Now, of course, the idea of forgiveness isn't unique to Christianity. Other religions, even secular worldviews, sometimes talk about the need to forgive or at least letting go of the past. How Christianity defines forgiveness, however, just goes way beyond that. Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." In other words, radical forgiveness and mercy are not an optional self-help suggestion in Christianity. We don't forgive because it's good for us, though it is, but because the central truth of the Christian way of seeing the world is that we have been forgiven much. Being reconciled to God through the death of his son means being reconciled to others, even our greatest enemies. In John Grisham's recent novel, The Guardians, a man who spent 23 years in prison for a murder he didn't commit confronts three people whose false testimony put him behind those bars. As he listens to them confess their lies, Grisham writes, quote, "He is stunned by the speed with which he forgave them. Something came over him, maybe the Holy Spirit, and he just couldn't hate anymore. He closed his eyes and asked God to take away all of his hate, and in a flash, a huge burden left his shoulders." Grisham's novel, which the Washington Post has called terrific, points out another thing that sets Christian forgiveness apart. You see, not only does God demand radical forgiveness from us, he then enables us to do this thing that seems impossible. As Paul told the Galatians, we can only live this forgiven and forgiving life, quote, "through faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us." Just as when Mother Emanuel church members forgave Dylan Roof, or when those Amish parents forgave and loved the parent of the one who took their children, the world cannot make sense of this kind of mercy. But it also cannot help but take notice. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Coming up on 18 minutes past the hour this Thursday afternoon, the weekend almost here. Let's head outside. Meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Temperatures today are on the rise, a milder day underway as compared to yesterday. On the weather map, though, we're looking at a cold front that'll be changing things around, delivering some wind and rain later tonight into tomorrow morning, and then much cooler air with clearing skies heading toward the end of the day tomorrow and the weekend. Here's the call for this afternoon. Mild clouds, some sun at times, and high temperatures in the 50s, mainly cloudy tonight. Wind and rain will be on the increase overnight, low temps 40s. Tomorrow morning, rain, followed by clearing and sunshine. It'll be a windy day in western New York in particular. Temperatures dropping, ultimately, into the 40s, if not through the 40s, during the day. And then on Saturday, it's sunshine, crisp and cool. Mid-30s to the mid-40s, and mostly sunny, crisp, and cool on Sunday.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, busy at the Weather Center this afternoon. If you are just joining us, here is our top story for today, Thursday, March 12th. The COVID-19 pandemic. President Trump issuing a 30-day travel ban on folks entering the U.S. from parts of Europe. Here's South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
He gave an economic vaccine to stabilize the economy. He's doing everything he can, in my view, to stop the spread of the virus. We're taking it serious, but we're not going to go crazy.
Graham says the epicenter of the virus has now shifted from Asia to Europe, and President Trump has saved lives by issuing travel bans on places like China and Italy. During last night's primetime speech to the nation, the president says the health emergency and our nation's response to it needs to rise above petty politics.
We are all in this together. Smart action today will prevent the spread of the virus tomorrow.
Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says while Americans need to take precautions, we do not need to panic.
Those who get the virus, 99% of them are going to be fine. Of those who get the virus, 80% of them are not going to even know they have the virus or aren't going to be sick enough to have to go to the hospital.
The World Health Organization declared the virus a pandemic yesterday, and for the first time ever, COVID-19 has showed up in Western New York. Here's Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Monroe County officials announced the test results for the first patient to test positive late last night, but they did not release any information about that individual, like age or gender. Officials say the person had traveled to a high-risk area, but is not one of the SUNY students quarantined on the campus of the college at Brockport. Health officials say the patient is home right now in involuntary isolation and is recovering nicely. They added that the risk of infection remains low in Monroe County. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Today, the city of Rochester scrubbed Saturday's St. Patrick's Day parade because of the virus. There are now over 200 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in New York, at least 16 in Pennsylvania. State Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine.
What is most important for everyone in Pennsylvania to remember is please stay calm. We have the networks in place and the collaborations in place to ensure that we will continue to work towards a healthy Pennsylvania for all.
Today, Pennsylvania's largest public university announcing it's making the switch to online learning because of the virus. Starting Monday, tens of thousands of students at Penn State will attend school over the internet. These students a little apprehensive.
I understand like that's going to be pretty tough for some kids that never took a class online, or even if their class is like a lab, like a chem lab or something like that. Like, how are they going to really be able to do that online?
I do perform a little better, you know, when there's people in the class, when you look forward to going there and meeting new people and then, you know, building relationships in the class.
Just coming off of spring break and then going right into online classes, I feel like there is kids who, if they're not disciplined, they will fall behind.
Penn State becomes the latest college in the Family Life listening area to make the switch. The COVID-19 pandemic, meantime, causing the bottom to fall out of Wall Street again today. For the second time this week, the markets froze after the Dow dropped over 1,200 points right after the opening bell. The Dow down over 2,000 points right now. Financial expert David Gura says President Trump's big speech last night has done little to calm nervous investors.
It has been, as I alluded to, there are rocky nights since the president gave that speech in the Oval Office. Short on specifics and a lot of questions about what he was targeting in that speech.
Business analyst Jill Schlesinger says the travel industry taking the biggest hit from coronavirus.
Leading stocks lower are transportation companies, specifically airlines, hotels, leisure, hospitality, and energy.
The NBA suspending its season after two players have tested positive for COVID-19, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban.
This is people's lives at stake. This isn't about basketball. This isn't about the Mavericks. This isn't about when do we start or do we start or how do we start. This is a pandemic, a global pandemic, where people's lives are at stake.
As for college basketball, correspondent Steve Futterman.
The NCAA says it plans to go on with its postseason tournament, but it will be played without any fans.
Actor Tom Hanks and his wife Rita Wilson in isolation in Australia. The Hollywood power couple announcing they've tested positive for coronavirus. Also today, Congress says the U.S. Capitol will be closed to the public until April 1st because of the outbreak. Despite the coronavirus health scare, a large gathering of Christian activists still a go next Tuesday in Albany. It's called Legislative Day. And Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms is spearheading the effort.
As Christians, we have a great opportunity to minister in this environment. We have an opportunity to not only meet the physical needs, there'll be people who need to be checked out in our communities, they may even need food or elderly people that need assistance, but we can demonstrate the love of Christ in a crisis moment. Yeah. That's important for the church to remember. We got a great role at times like this.
Michael Gear is with the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
It provides an opportunity for us, I think, as Jason just pointed out, for Christians to be of service to others, especially looking out for the elderly, for our neighbors. And it is, for most of us, unprecedented. I mean, even the quarantines that President Trump put into place, those quarantines, is the first time that the United States has done that in 50 years.
Arrangements being made to ensure the safety and security of all those attending next Tuesday's Legislative Day in Albany. So how should you handle the growing fear over COVID-19? Nationally known psychologist Dr. Robbie Ludwig says the best thing you can do is arm yourself with the facts.
Listen, the flu kills more people worldwide, but what's more nerve-wracking about the virus is that it's new, and we don't know how to contain it, so that is very scary.
Ludwig says while you should not panic, you should use common sense, especially if you live in a coronavirus hotspot, you're over the age of 60, and you have a compromised immune system.
Don't go out. Really try to make your home your fortress right now.
Ludwig says as more tests are done, the number of confirmed cases will go up. She says that is not reason, though, to panic. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Pastor Kevin Petsky. He serves as a Christian school administrator and lead pastor at First Bible Baptist Church in Hilton, New York. You and others are standing up, making people aware of six bills in Albany right now that threaten basic rights of parents in New York State. Would you tell us why you've gotten involved?
My wife and I, we have three little girls, and we believe it is our right to choose for them medically and educationally. We take our children in for their annual checkup with their pediatrician. We have very real conversations, and the pediatrician gives us what she believes would be the best course for our daughter. Then we're able to have conversations and make those medical decisions according to the pediatrician and our own research and what we believe to be best for our family. These bills that come through essentially erase our ability to do that. And the medical doctor at that point is able to vaccinate and medicate at their own discretion without our knowledge or without our consent.
And some of those bills, one of them would require children to receive a flu shot in order to attend a daycare between birth to 18 years old. So that's one of the more, shall we say, calm legislative measures. And then some of the other ones that are getting lots of people's attention are the comprehensive sex education. It would require kids in kindergarten to have sexual education standards.
Yeah, crazy. Again, I do have a daughter that's in kindergarten right now. And of course, as I'm sure most parents do, we teach her good hygiene and cleanliness. And that's just about all she needs at this age. And really, it's our job to protect our children and keep their hearts and bodies pure and safe. What this comprehensive sex education does is it begins to indoctrinate and open them up to some very disturbing and mature content that at some point in their life becomes a beautiful thing for them and fantastic. And we're not obviously against sex or even sex education in its right place, but in kindergarten, boy, that just seems really, really off course.
But it's refreshing to know that you and Democratic Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren have teamed up. You have very different backgrounds, but you're unified on this issue all about keeping kids safe.
Yeah. The issue is not a political issue. It's a parental issue. And that's my message just over and over. So when I went to City Hall to talk to Lovely Warren, the mayor, we simply had a conversation as a dad to a mom who love our daughter. She has a 9-year-old daughter. I have a 9-year-old daughter. And we want what's best for our children. Every one of us want to be able to make these decisions.
Kevin, I see that the measure in the assembly is called A973A. And that's the one that would allow healthcare practitioners to administer all STD vaccines to minors at the age of 9,
right,
without parental consent or knowledge. I just feel like it's almost a push to gear kids to not think, but just to act. 9 years old.
Yeah, Tracy, I do think there are tragedies that happen within our society. Unfortunately, that allows children to become sexually active at very young ages. And sometimes those children are seeking sexual advancement because of the surroundings they're in, and sometimes they're being preyed upon. In either of those situations, though, a 9-year-old should not be given over to the state to make medical decisions. A 9-year-old should find help in the arms of their parents, their mom or their dad. Essentially, these bills that you just specifically listed allow them to circumvent their parents. But essentially, you've just removed the one thing they really need, the love and the care and the guidance of their parents at this moment. And in some cases, call the police. right? I mean, if a 9-year-old or 10-year-old is involved in sexual acts that has caused an STD, it's really not the health department we should be calling. It's the police department we should be calling.
Yeah. Kevin, there is hope, and there's a group that's very proactive.
These elected officials live in some of the same communities that we do, and they can be touched by the same emotions and reason that we have. There's a group called Take Action Rochester. We also have another website called NewYorkParentsForChoice.org that has good information on it. Many churches are starting to host meetings and allow parents to become educated about this. In turn, those parents are going to school board meetings and talking to school districts. Our greatest hope is in God, and I believe that if the people of God would pray, that we would see the hearts of our politicians moved, and God can do a tremendous work in and through all of us.
That's First Bible Baptist Church Pastor Kevin Petsky. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, Tracy. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Temperatures today are on the rise, a milder day underway as compared to yesterday. On the weather map, though, we're looking at a cold front that'll be changing things around, delivering some wind and rain later tonight into tomorrow morning, and then much cooler air with clearing skies heading toward the end of the day tomorrow and the weekend. Here's the call for this afternoon. Mild clouds, some sun at times, and high temperatures in the 50s, mainly cloudy tonight. Wind and rain will be on the increase overnight, low temps 40s. Tomorrow morning, rain, followed by clearing and sunshine. It'll be a windy day in western New York in particular. Temperatures dropping, ultimately, into the 40s, if not through the 40s, during the day. And then on Saturday, it's sunshine, crisp and cool, mid-30s to the mid-40s, and mostly sunny, crisp and cool on Sunday.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noontime, while March Madness won't be played in front of fans because of the coronavirus, Wallet Hub still taking a look at the best college basketball cities in America. Family Life's Brandon Dixon tells us many of those right in our backyard.
Loretto, Pennsylvania, home to St. Francis University, and Lewiston, New York, Niagara University's home, are among the top towns in the U.S. for basketball. Syracuse ranked in the top 10 for mid-sized cities, while Ithaca was tied for the cheapest college basketball ticket price, and Loretto is tied for the most accessible college basketball arena. On the opposite end, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, which is home to Lehigh University, was one of the worst for college basketball. Basketball, especially for small cities. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. This programming note, folks, be sure to tune in at the top of the hour all day this afternoon for continuing coverage of the coronavirus outbreak with our very own Bob Price. He'll keep you posted on this global, national, and local health emergency. For now, that is the world we live in this Thursday. Thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.